We're going to continue to bring our message as far as discipleship is concerned. Anybody still want to be a disciple?
Amen.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Nobody's backing out. This is pretty cool. Pretty cool. But you know, there's an old saying, be careful what you ask for, because why? You might get it. And how many know that when the Lord gets you, you're God? And when the Lord gets you, how long will you be God?
Forever.
So be careful what you ask for, because you might just get it. We've been talking about the rewards of being a disciple. And I told you last week that almost probably in every church, on every town, in every square, in every pew, there are people that are seated there right now. If I said to them, who is God, what would they say? He is the? He said, they're the Father. He's the Father. I mean, I would be really surprised. Even if I asked a general population who claimed to be Christian, and I said to them, who is God? They would say, he is the Father. Disciples say that he is what?
My
Father. Big difference. Big difference. And even maybe some disciples would say, he's my daddy. A more intimate relationship with him, right? Abba. And if I would go to any church or any town in any square, in any pew, and ask Christians there, who is Jesus Christ? They would clearly say he is the what? Son of God. That's what they would say. Would they be right?
Yes.
Of course they'd be right. And they might even be a little bit more theological and say he is the Savior. They would say, that's what they would say. And chances are pretty good right now if I went down to one of the UPMC hospitals where I go and I went into the card deck that said Christian. Did you know that when you check in a hospital they ask what you are? You know, you go in there, right? You get sit. Where's Kathy? Kathy. That's what they ask, right? Kathy, you do some enrollment kinds of stuff, right? People come in and they say, what's your name? What's your address? What's your phone number? What's your social security number? What's your date of birth? And then they ask you a really important question. You have an insurance card, don't you? Don't they ask that? Right? And there's a big old sign there. Deductibles will be paid in advance, right? And they get through all that stuff. And then they say, do you have a living will? Right? Do you have a living will? And then they finally get down to, what religious affiliation are you? That's what they ask you.
And that's not supposed to scare us while they're intaking us.
Well, they ask that, and you say, if you're Catholic, you'll say, I'm Catholic. And some folks don't know. So they'll say, what's my choices? And they show, Catholic, right? Here's your choices, right? Are you Catholic? No, I'm not Catholic. Buddhist? Nah, I'm not Buddhist. Muslim? Nah, not Muslim. Presbyterian, Baptist, Lutheran, Seventh-day Adventist, Christ, Church of God? Nah, nah, Christian. Yeah, that's it. Put that down. I'm Christian. Which means what? All of the above, I'm that person. And I go into a hospital and I go into the card decks when I go see people I'm supposed to see. And in front of a card deck, it says Christian. And there's probably 25 cards in there. And you know why they're in the Christian part? Because they don't have a church. See, if they had a church, they'd be in the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Lutheran. They'd be in there because they have a church, right? And I go and I get the ones out that have nothing. And it says, pastor, none. Church affiliation, none. Request a call from a pastor. And so I'll go up to those rooms. And if I said to them, who is Jesus Christ? What would they say? Son of God. Now, if I came to see you and I said to you, who is Jesus Christ? I'm hoping that I would hear more than just the Son of God. I'm hoping for some of you I would hear, he's my Savior. I'm hoping for some of you disciples in training that you would say, he is my Lord.
Amen.
I'm hoping for some of you, you would say to me, he is my High Priest. Now, why would you say that? Because I taught that to you, of course. But because you know that he's more than the Savior, he is what? My Savior. How many? What?
My brother.
My brother. That's pretty cool. Hey, you were paying attention. And so, you know what? That's important stuff because that is relational. When Peter was asked, who do people say I am? General question. Who do people say I am? And he wasn't lying. He said, well, some say you're John the Baptist coming back. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Moses. Some say you're a prophet. And then Peter was asked a very personal question by Jesus. Jesus said what? But who do you say I am? When you get to heaven, the question won't be, who did Pastor Tom say he was? That's not the question. The question won't be, who did all the elders say I? That's not the question. The question is not, who did all the world say? No, the question is going to be, who did you say I was? And I'm hoping that you answer as Peter did. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. Disciples, get that. And I told you last week that one of the benefits of being a disciple is that you have Jesus Christ, not as the Savior. You have Jesus Christ as what? My Savior. You do not have Jesus Christ as the Lord. You have Jesus Christ as my Lord. You do not have Jesus Christ as the high priest, the prophet, the Messiah. You have him as yours. Anybody have him as yours here today? That's discipleship. You're understanding and you're growing that, wait a second, I don't really care what all of you think, and I do not care what all of you say. I only need to be worried about what I think and what I say. Now that might be a bubble bursting experience for you, because sometimes I say that, people say, Pastor Tom doesn't care. Well, he cares, but he cares more what I think. Because when I get there, I'm not going to be speaking on your behalf. I'm going to be speaking on who? My behalf. How many know? It gets personal. When you're standing before the throne of God, it gets pretty personal. Amen. Jimmy, doesn't it? When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, guess what? We're not going as a group. Now, we might get raptured all together, but the appointment time, 1 o'clock is my time. 1 o'clock is not our time, it's my time. And how many know you all got a time too? And guess what? You won't be early and you won't be late. Even we won't be late, sissy. We'll be right on time. It's me, not her. Right, sissy? It is me, right. I'm a wise man. And I told you last week, I said to you all that Jesus Christ is a benefit to us because we receive him. But with that comes responsibilities. See, disciples get it. See, I told you this once before. I'm keeping track of time. I'm getting nervous already. I told you before that there are people who go to very large churches. And I will never forget when I asked somebody that I knew down in the boroughs, what church do you go to? And they said, Assumption Church. And I'm not picking on Catholic churches, Assumption. And I said, well, why do you go to Assumption? And they clearly said to me, because I can sit in the back of the pew and nobody knows I'm there. And I thought about that one. Wow, I wonder how many people go to church and hide in the pew somewhere so no one knows they're there. And you know why people hide in the pew? They don't think somebody's going to jump on them. They're afraid somebody might ask them something. You see, they hide in the back of the church pew so they can come in and what? Get out. And you know where some people's favorite chair is, pew? It's in the back row near the door. Oh, sure, I'm not. Now, see, it was implied, right? Come here, Shar. Come here with me, honey. Shar, I don't want anybody to think that of you. See, don't you like this chair better? No. And some people like to sit where Shar's seated, not because, but she's sitting there because that's her chair. Like, that's Karen's chair. I got out of the way, right? But people like to sit in the back of the pew on the end so they can what? Take off. And I have seen people take off right before communion. I've seen people take off right before offering. As soon as the message is over. Is that what disciples do? No. That's not what it's about. What it's about is, I'm not going to leave because I'm afraid to be asked. I'm getting there early in case there's something I can do. That's discipleship. You know, Sissy and I have been married 41 years, soon to be, and because she's my wife, I have responsibility. Because we have children, we have responsibility. How many of you got responsibilities? We do. When you're in a relationship, you have a responsibility. And because we have Jesus Christ in our lives, we have a responsibility for that.
Hallelujah.
And it's not just one way. All for me, all for me, all for me, all for me. Jesus, what have you done for me lately? Guess what? We have some things to do for him too. We do. You know, sometimes we think of God and Jesus like a theologically cosmic Santa Claus. Can I have? Can I get? Can I have? Can I get? Hey, what have we done for him? We heard a song yesterday, Sissy and I, and it said, Lord, what did it say? Teach me to break my heart with what breaks yours. Wow! Think of those words. Break my heart with what breaks yours. That's awesome. There's responsibility that comes with having Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord, and as our High Priest. I'll have you turn in your Bibles, please. Luke 6:46.
But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?
Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Isn't that fascinating? Sissy, can you come here a second, Sissy, please? Kathy, can you come here a minute, Kathy? Okay, now, in this example I'm about to show you, I know you clearly know that she's my wife. I know that. Pretend that you don't. No. This is good. Here I stand with two women. Show them your left hands, please. Now, they certainly have a symbol of something. What is it?
Wedding ring.
A wedding ring. So they're married, right? Now, if you did not know, I'm holding two women's hands. They both have a wedding ring on. Which one is my wife? Now, you wouldn't know by me holding her hands. How would you know? You wouldn't know, right? You would not know. True? But if you watched our interaction all day long, it would be not too hard to figure out which one of these two is my wife. True? Certainly if you watched us for a year, you would kind of figure out which one is. And I'm not saying, well, you've seen her get in the car and go home with me. But I mean, if you saw us for a year, you would kind of figure out which one is my wife. True? Okay, thank you. Which one is your Lord? Which one is your Lord? Now, if I hung around with you all day today, and I went everywhere that you went, and I listened to everything that you said, I watched everything that you watched, would I be able to figure out who is your Lord? Yes, I would. Certainly, if I hung around with you for a whole week, it wouldn't take, and I'm not the wisest one in the place, I will admit that. But if I hung around with you for a whole week, I did what you did, I saw what you saw, I worked where you worked, I watched what you watched, I heard what you heard, I would soon be able to figure out who is your Lord, wouldn't I? Now, certainly if I hung around with you for a whole year, I would figure it out, wouldn't I? Who's your Lord? Now, I know what you want to say. And you want to yell it, you want to scream it, right? Jesus is my Lord, Pastor Tom, get a grip. Well, I don't know what you say. But words are what?
Cheap.
Words are cheap. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? Wow. What a simple question with humongous possibilities. Why do you call me Lord, but yet you don't do what I say? You know what? I'm not your Lord. Because if I was your Lord, I would be your master. If I was your Lord and I was your master, you're my servant. And the servant doesn't get a choice. Am I really your Lord? But yet, you don't do what I say? You know, I'm not your Lord. I'm a convenient thing to go to when you need me. There are some churches, I am totally convinced of this, there are some churches that if Jesus Christ came in the door right now and said, can I speak? We'd have to say, I can't fit you in, I can be out of here by 12. There's some churches that would do that. There's some churches, if Jesus Christ himself came and said, we can't fit you in, could we come next week? I'll give you a minute for ministry. I can give you 5 minutes next week, Lord. Now how many know I'm speaking the truth? I am speaking the truth. There are some people who sit in the last pew in the last chair on the last corner. They'll say, oh my gosh, he's going to speak. I better get out of here now. I got lasagna in the oven. I got to get home. And Jesus said, if I am your Lord, why do you not do the things I told you to do? Now, I know you're probably thinking unto yourself, well, you know, I keep those big 10 things. I got those 10 things. I got those 10 things. What's those 10 things called? Yes. Yeah. I'm doing them, Pastor Tom. I'm doing them. Get a grip. No, you get a grip. Because Jesus Christ says more things than those 10. Didn't he? Let me give you some things he added to it. When you did this to the least of mine, you did it unto me. He said, love one another, even your enemies, as I love you. He said, you know that lust stuff? You know that adultery stuff? Don't even think about it. You know that murder stuff? If you have a grudge against your brother, guess what? You killed him. So how are we doing in the doing all the things Jesus told us to do? You see, having Jesus as your Lord comes with some responsibilities. And I want to let you know right now, going to church ain't cutting it. I'm glad you're here, but that's not enough. As a matter of fact, I want to let you know, if somebody says to you, do you do service for the Lord? And you say, well, of course I go to church. That's not service. That's worship. That's not service. That's recharging your batteries. That's not work. That's training to go do some work. And where's the work? Out that door. That's where the work is, out that door. And Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and you do not do what I tell you to do? Matthew 28:18-20.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things as I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Well, I'm doing what he told me to do. What did he tell me to do? Make disciples. I'm doing it. How many folks in this room know at least one person who is not saved? Cool. How many of you know at least one person does not go to church? Cool. Now, how many of you know that one person lives in the city of Pittsburgh somewhere? Oh, how many know the next question?
Why aren't you bringing them?
Oh, sissy, you got me connected. I knew you knew. What's the question?
Why aren't you bringing them?
Go get them. They won't come. Mm-mm-mm. How many know more than one person that is not saved? How many know more than one person don't go to church? That matters. Let's go. How many know a lot of people don't go to church and they say, bring somebody. Go pick them up. Invite them to a breakfast buffet. They'll come. Tell them you're going to treat them to a breakfast buffet at Eaton Park. They can have all that they want to eat. And you're going to pick them up at 9 o'clock. And the breakfast bunch starts at 12:30. And you're going to bring them where? Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. Because they're still talking to me now. You know, if I go do that, trick them, bring them to the church, they might have a, you know, they might, you know, get mad at me, and they might not talk to me, and they may not be my friend anymore, and they'll probably, you know, be mad at me for the rest of my born days. Get over yourself. What's more important, them being mad at you or them going to hell? Really? What's more important? Them being mad at you or them going to hell? Going to hell. Right? Now this making disciples and going teaching part, that's just not for me. That's for who?
All
who?
All
everybody who thinks that's for you, raise your hand. How many call him Lord? Are you doing what he told you to do? And here's the good deal. You all can say to me, of course I am. You know what? I'd say, well, good, that's great. I don't know whether you are or you aren't. But guess who does?
He does.
Mm-hmm. He does. Go fetch somebody. Tell them this. You know what? You know I love my church, but that pastor, he's like crazy. If you knew him, he is like crazy. He said that none of us can come to church next week unless we bring somebody. The price of admission is somebody. I got to check you at the door or I can't get in. Would you help me out? Can you just come one time so I can go to church? No, come on. If somebody told me that, I'd probably go just so I'd help the guy out. Just bring some, Mark, tell somebody, I can't get in next Sunday. I said, bring somebody. Bring a friend Sunday. I can't go. That's it, I'm doing it. The first Sunday in April, bring a friend Sunday. Easter Sunday. Let's do it Easter. They're going to come anyhow. It's an easy day. It's Easter. Everybody goes to church on Easter. We're going to have an Easter brunch thing. We'll have some kind of goodies. And it's Bring a Friend Sunday. Okay, Bring a Friend Sunday. Anybody? Who here has a friend? Oh, thank God. Boy, you got a friend. Who's got friends? Shar, put your hand up here, Shar. You got friends. Okay. How many are really shaking in your boots even at the thought of it, right? You're thinking, oh, I got to find something to do on Sunday now. I was going to go to church. Okay, right? Bring a friend Sunday. Bring a friend. I'm bringing one. Who's going to bring a friend on Easter Sunday? Like four people. Unbelievable. John 15, verse 10.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Hmm. We have to keep his commandments to abide in him. Are you doing that? So many people say to me in the work that I do, fact is, I was at the Men's Challenge. And I was talking to somebody, and this person, a young man, was going through some issues. And I want to talk about these. Going through some issues and said to me, well, I thought God was for me. Well, what makes you think God's against you? Well, I'm suffering. I'm going through all these trials, and my faith is waning and all this kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, okay. Now, what's the problem? Is God not for him? Disciples understand, God's for you. God was for Jesus Christ. How many knew, was God for his son? Well, how much was he for his son? Did he love his son? He did, right? Did his son have problems? That's not working for me. Come on, help me out. That's not working for me. God loved, the Father loves the Son, right? How many know the Father loved the Son? Love the Son. In fact, he said, then this is my Son in whom I am well. You guys know this passage of Scripture, right? So the Father loves the Son. Did the Son have any trials? Well, wait a second. It's not working out for me again. Did the Son have persecutions? Oh, this is not working out. Why would the Father who loves the Son have the Son go through trials and tribulations? Why would the Father who loves the Son have the Son be what? Put to death on a tree. Because he also loves me. How many know the Father loves you? It's not working out for me. It's not working out. If the Father loves the Son has persecution. Is it also possible the Father loves me and I have persecution? The Father loves the Son and he has some trials and tribulations. The Father loves me and I have trials and tribulations. See, disciples get it. This is not easy street, USA. This is narrow road. How much on the narrow road? This is narrow road, brothers and sisters. We're on the narrow road. You see, men and women of character is who God can use. Men and women of character. Did God love Daniel? Did He love him in the lion's den? Did God love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In the fiery furnace, hotter than everybody else got? Did God love Joseph? When He put him in the hole in the ground and sold him into slavery? Did God love you? What's your problem? Really? What's your problem again? Get your heads up, get your shoulders square, and get to work. That's what we're supposed to do. Get your head up, get your shoulders square, let's get going. True? If you keep His commandments and abide in Him, He will abide in you. Not my words, His words. Turn, please, in your Bibles. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16.
Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
When is the last time that you utilized Jesus as your high priest? Now, I know that He's our Savior, but when did you utilize Him as your high priest? Now, what does that mean? What that means is, when is the last time you went to Him and just confessed your sins? When is it? Is it like last two Sundays ago we had communion? That's a good time to do it. But did you do it after that? Did you do it this morning? Did you do it yesterday? Did you do it the day before? Did you do it the day before? No, you're utilizing Jesus Christ as your high priest to obtain mercy. Did you utilize Jesus Christ as your high priest to get forgiveness? You know, sometimes in our Catholic churches, we will never forget to go to confession because we want to obtain what? Absolution. Forgiveness of our... How many Catholic folks? How many of you remember going to confession to get absolution, right? Okay. And when was that, Sue, Lori, Sissy, Mary, whoever, Sue, when was that? When could you go to confession?
Anytime you
wanted? No, not then.
At least every 2 days.
But when were they sitting in the little room?
Fridays.
Okay, well, that's what I want to know. Fridays. In your case. Could you go Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock?
No.
No. They weren't in the room. In the phone booth, whatever that's called. What's that called?
Confessional.
When could you guys go? Saturday or Sunday. Could you go Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock? No. And so they was in the phone booth. The phone booth is little, it's not big. So they didn't sit in it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right?
You were supposed to like accumulate them.
Accumulate what?
Your sins.
Oh.
You have a whole list to give priests.
Well, I'm learning. I'm learning. So you had to get a list. Because you didn't want to go and get one. That's a waste of time.
We never really just had
you
one.
Could make them up.
Oh, Sissy said they never had just one.
She made them up when she was a kid.
I would make them up.
Sue would make them up.
Because I knew you had to say something, and I thought I had every week, and I didn't
know. Lori, you made them up? Oh, Lori felt under pressure. She had to make them up.
I made my mother 3 times when I really didn't, but I knew I had to say something.
Sue had to say, I'm telling you something right now. These are the kind of girls you want to have a relation with, because they had to make their sins up. Didn't have to make them up. Oh, I got a list. Not you, Sandy. But it's true. You feel under pressure, right? I got to say something. And you couldn't go. You had to make an appointment with the priest. You had certain days, right? The high priest that I worship is in the booth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He works on Sundays too.
Amen.
When is the last time you made a confession to Him? Most of us could do it by the hour. Let's just be real. Right? It's only 5 after 11. Some of us could make an appointment at 11:30 today already. Not you, Tammy. And when's the last time you utilized Jesus Christ as your high priest? How many said He was your high priest? Did you use Him? To obtain mercy, to obtain forgiveness over your sins? Did you do those things? Look again at Hebrews. I want to show you something. The really neat thing here is verse 16. I want to read it to you. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. To come boldly. What I heard so far from Sue and from Lori, and probably from others who had confession too, and I know this is being taped, and I'm sorry publicly if I'm offending any of my Roman and Catholic brothers and sisters, but I want to say this. Intimidating to sit in the little room, and I've never sat in a little room, so I... Oh, you kneel in their presence?
Yes. No, you don't see that.
Okay, so you go in the little room, you're on your knees, they open up the door.
Yeah.
Can they see you?
Yes.
Oh my. Okay, so they see you, right? And so, how many of you are intimidated when you have to do that? All those who did it, was it kind of like an intimidating experience?
Oh yeah.
Well, guess what? I'm not intimidated to go to my high priest. I'm not intimidated. I come boldly. Boldly. My head is up and my shoulders are square. I come boldly before my high priest. Who comes boldly before Jesus? Because you know why? Because he loves me. I will kneel in reverence. I will kneel in obedience to him. No man. Him? Absolutely. And I got some news for you. They're going to kneel before him too. Is that true? Right. And so it says in this scripture, Hebrews said, we come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's my high priest. I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of him because he loves me. How many are not afraid of Jesus? I honor him, but I'm not afraid of him. We have God as our Father. We have Jesus as our high priest. We have him as our Savior and our Lord. We have something else that we get when we're a disciple. We have the Holy Spirit. And you turn in your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?
I wonder if I would go into any church in any town on any street and say to them, and who is the Holy Spirit? I wonder what they'd say. Who is the Holy Spirit? If I say, who is God? They will say, he's the Father. And if I say to them, who is Jesus Christ? They will say, he's the Son of God. Now this gets a little tricky. Because if I say, who's the Holy Spirit? They can't say, well, he's the Holy Spirit. Right? I know, that's why I asked you. Who is the Holy Spirit? What do you think they'll say? Any town, any church, any Christian sitting in any pew, and I say, and who is the Holy Spirit? Now, I know what you're all going to say, because you're going to blood-bought, sanctified, Bible-toting, blood-bought Jesus freaks. I know that. But who would they say the Holy Spirit is? What do you think?
Third person of the Trinity.
I think I agree with you. They probably say, the third person of the Trinity. Come on, Tom, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity. Now, if I was to ask you who the Holy Spirit was, what would you say? The Comforter.
Intervention.
And what?
The Holy Spirit intervenes for us.
Yes. He's our... Who said counselor? Counselor. He's our advocate.
Helper.
He's what?
Helper.
Uh-huh.
The one who Jesus said to comfort us.
He does comfort us. Would anybody say he's your constant companion?
Yes.
Why?
Because
he's in here. See, disciples get that.
Keeps it from going over the edge.
Michael said it keeps us from going over the edge. How many hope he does a little better job? He convicts us.
Yeah.
He convicts us. But how many know we get free choice though, right? Now let me help you with this, brothers and sisters. You see, brothers and sisters, before Pentecost, in the Old Testament kinds of days, before Jesus Christ was crucified, the Holy Spirit dwelt among the people. He was with the people. On the day of Pentecost, when Jesus Christ ascended and the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples, and it said like little flames, that day of Pentecost, The Holy Spirit no longer dwells among his people. He what? Dwells in his people. Dwells in. And so we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When do we receive that? When we get baptized?
No.
Well, a lot of people think that. We receive the Holy Spirit upon our baptisms. Anybody going with that one? That answer?
No.
No? Sissy's hand's going up. She wants to give me an answer.
You didn't ask yet.
Didn't ask yet. Couldn't there be people that are baptized that did not receive the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Believe ye therefore and be baptized. Now here comes another tricky question. What about infants that are baptized? Do they get the Holy Spirit? Oh, I got some people going, ooh, I don't know about that one. Do children get the Holy Spirit at their baptisms?
Point of regeneration.
That's a theological big term, regeneration. Salvation. Can you put that in English for some folks?
When we come to Christ.
Yes. Jesus says, I stand and I what?
Knock.
If anyone shall what? Open the door, I will come in. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, does it matter what age you do this? No. Could a 6-year-old invite Jesus into their heart?
Yes.
How about a 96-year-old?
Yes.
Yes. How about a convicted murderer?
Yes.
Oh, wait a second now. We're going a little far. You mean a convicted murderer who killed like 50 people?
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
Could invite Jesus in their heart?
Yes.
Really? Like what about like the hour before they're put into a lethal injection through their veins?
Doesn't matter.
Really?
Yes.
You guys believe that?
Yep.
Get out. So the chemicals going through them, right? They're like, why don't you use sterile needle for people that's going to die? I saw to that.
I didn't know
it's
sterile.
Oh, it is. It's sterile. They put alcohol on there. Boy, it's kind of. They put that needle in their vein, right? And the clock's ticking down. 10, 9, 8, 7, well, however they do it. And they flip the little lever or push the little button and they feel the chemical burning in their veins and they say, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner, please, Lord, come into my life. And then they die. You mean to tell me that right then and there the Holy Spirit came in them like for 10 seconds?
Yes.
No way. Really? And a little old grandma on the street that never did anything wrong for anybody. She's baking cookies for all the neighborhood kids. And never accepted Jesus Christ. You're going to tell me she's rotting in hell?
Yes.
No way. Anybody find that hard to believe? Is that the way you would do it? Like if you were in charge. God help us all. I know. I'm getting chills even when I said that. But if you were all in charge about who gets in and who doesn't. You were in charge. You were in charge. How many would let the grandma in and bake cookies for all the kids on the neighborhood and put chocolate chips in there?
Sure.
How about the person that killed 50 people? How many let him in? No way. No way. But see, you're not in charge. You're not. And the Holy Spirit is supposed to remind you that you are not in charge. It is not about you. It's not about what you feel or think either. Because how many know you can feel or think a lot of things that don't make it so?
That's true.
How many felt some things this morning? You're thanking God it ain't so. Right? Just because you feel or think things doesn't mean it's so. And just because you don't feel or think things doesn't mean it isn't. And the Holy Spirit is supposed to come in and remind you of all that Jesus said. Turn in your Bibles, please. Romans 8, 11 to 13.
But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Wow. Ain't that something? I mean, Sarah's even going, ain't that something, Sarah? That's something. It says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, and that's the Holy Spirit, dwells in who? You. You will be able to put to death the desires of the flesh, will you be 100% totally putting the flesh to death?
No.
No. Could you?
Yes.
Are we?
No.
Is anybody doing better?
Yes.
Who's doing better? We're doing better. It'll be a struggle. How many know life is a struggle?
Yeah.
But we're doing better. Right?
Amen.
Now, here's the problem that we have, brothers and sisters. It says in this passage of Scripture that if you are living according to the flesh, you will die. It says if you live according to the Spirit, you will live. Now, wait a second. Time out. I need some clarification on that. I thought, if I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my name is not to be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, and that I will inherit eternal life. I know that it says that in that great big one that says John 3:16. I know it says that. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, although you will be dead, you will have eternal life. I know that passage of Scripture. Now you're telling me that if I live a sinful life and I die to the and I don't die to the flesh, I'm going to die. Now, which is it? Which is it? I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but yet I'm still doing the same old stuff I've always done.
Heart.
Now, Mary's saying it's your heart.
What's in your heart?
What's in your heart? You're right. What is it in your heart, Mary? Do you know?
You didn't really accept it.
Ooh!
You can say the words.
Come here. Oh, come here. You just start preaching, I'll sit down. Go ahead. She said, the answer, you didn't accept them. That's the right answer. Because if you accepted him, you would be, he'd be in you, and you would turn from your wicked ways. Well, listen to me, church. There are a lot of people who say they did. And that's why we're very careful with altar calls. I'm not saying we don't do them, but we're careful how I do them. Because just as Lori had said and Sue had said, you know what? I get in the telephone booth. Whatever's that thing called?
Confessional.
I get in the confessional and I'm a little what? Intimidated. Oh, you've been in it? Then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. You didn't have to make stuff up either, did you? You get inside the confessional and you get a little intimidated. And so some of us have to make some stuff up. Well, guess what? Sometimes when we do altar calls, people get a little what? Intimidated. They do. I know how it works. This is how it works. Come here, Karen. This is how this works. I know this is how this works. You want to go? Yeah, I don't know. You'll go? I don't know if I want. You'll go if I go? Well, let me ask Mickey. Mickey, you going?
No.
She's not going. I don't know. You want to go next week?
Well, let's wait and see who else goes.
Okay, let's wait and see. This is how this goes. This is how this goes. And she's exactly right. Well, let's see who else goes. Well, Sissy's going. Yeah, but she goes all the time. That's how this. This is how this works. Well, you know, you said you were going to go last week. You better go this time. Come on, you want to go?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. That's how this works. I know this is how this works. Is that really, truly genuine? No.
No.
It shouldn't be dependent upon whether she goes. It should only be, I should go because I should go. Not because she goes, or Sissy goes. No. No. That's not genuine.
He calls you.
What?
He calls you.
He calls you. That's baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is that gentle calling of you, come to me. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is when you accept Jesus Christ. And so, we clearly got to understand here that baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism with the Holy Spirit, what's really important is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you don't have to wait until a Sunday altar call to accept them. Could you accept them in your car on the turnpike?
Yes.
Did that. I did that. There had to be an altar call. The altar call is when he calls and you accept. When can that be?
Anytime.
Anytime. Anytime. Let's do one more, brothers and sisters, and we'll save the rest till next week. Let's do, brothers and sisters, let's do Romans 8, 26 to 27.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Oh, brothers and sisters, there are so many times I invite people to pray and they say to me, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I understand that. I mean, they get you up and pray, you know, in a corporate sense in front of a lot of people. I can understand where that makes it a little bit antsy. I can understand that. But certainly there are times in your life when you could just say to the Lord, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, help me. Is that enough for God?
Yes.
How many have ever just cried out in your pain, help me, Lord? Guess what? He understands that. Because the Holy Spirit's interceding for you. Just help me, Lord. Help me. Now, brothers and sisters, because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, comes some responsibilities. And we're going to talk about that next week. And the fourth thing that we receive as disciples is we get our brothers and sisters. But with our brothers and sisters comes some responsibility. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the hearing of these words. May you write them on our hearts where they are not soon quickly forgotten. And all of God's people said, Amen.